Head to Subway for the tangy new Tuscan Chicken Melt, seasoned chicken, melted cheese, and olive vinaigrette. With 9 grams of fat, it's part of a Subway Fresh Fit meal, a simpler way to enjoy eating better. Hurry in today. Subway. Eat fresh.
The BS Report is a free-flowing conversation that occasionally touches on mature subjects.
First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. You must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
Welcome to the BS Report. Lakers up 2-0 NBA Finals. As a Celtics fan, I'm just chagrined by this whole thing. In fact, let's not talk basketball. Let's talk about soccer. Let's talk to my friend Rob Stone. What's happening?
What'd you do, spend 3 seconds thinking about that transition? Hey, everybody, it's soccer.
I forgot to mention you're on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Hey, I saw you on Saturday night because you'd be proud of me. I had a date with my wife, dinner and a movie, and actually taped the USA-Honduras game to watch later.
Why did you tape that game? I mean, I'm thrilled, but I don't know who you are anymore.
Well, look, it's you know, 2010 World Cup. I want to be prepared. I really enjoyed the 06 World Cup. I am not going to South Africa, and I don't think – neither are you, right?
I have no clue. Talk to my bosses. I'd love that answer.
I got to say, Boca Ronda, what's his name? Bocanegra.
Bocanegra? Yeah.
So it's a 1-1 game, corner kick. Guy kicks it. Somebody at Honduras screwed up a little bit, and the ball's kind of live in the middle. Bocanegra comes flying in for the I don't care if you kick me in the head header.
Exactly. Pretty gutsy, huh? That's the captain of the U.S. national team, a UCLA product, a kid who's playing professionally over in France right now. And, you know, that was kind of the attitude that's been missing at times for the U.S. national team is, you know, to hell with it. I'm putting my head in the blender, and if I get scraped up a little bit, tough noogies, but if I can get that ball in the net. I mean, I'm still amazed when I look back on the replays that he has all the teeth. You know, he has use of both eyes and ears because he somehow missed everything. But, yeah, he's diving at shin level. That's good stuff.
That's not a common soccer play. I'm guessing. The header in traffic after a corner kick,
you know what?
2 feet from the ground.
You do see a lot of boots to the head and things like that, but a lot of times not at that height level. And do you see a guy throwing his body in on a regular basis in a scrum like that? No, clearly not. And,
for the listeners, I'm not talking about a header that was 6 feet high. I'm talking about ball bouncing in the ground about 2 feet high.
Right.
And he dives down toward it.
Right.
Like almost like spears the ball with his head. And
not like he was by himself. He wasn't isolated.
It was six guys around him.
Yeah. So it was a much needed goal. If they didn't get that goal and if they didn't get that win, we might have been talking about potentially a new coach for the national team. I mean, that's the stress involved and kind of, I wouldn't say the panic, but, you know, the fear of not qualifying for the World Cup is mammoth on so many fronts. One of them, financially. You know, you make the World Cup, you get a lot of money stuffed into your coffers, and you're able to kind of continue things, plus the exposure and whatnot. And, you know, ESPN, ABC has made the World Cup a company priority. You love company priorities, don't you, Bill?
I do. Yeah. And, in fact, I watched the UEFA on May 27th.
UEFA.
You've been proud of me. UEFA, whatever. You know I can't pronounce stuff. I wanted to have you on because, well, for a variety of reasons, one of which you haven't been on in a while, but this whole, you know, I think there's a lot of people out there like me, the casual soccer fan who loves America and always gets excited during the World Cup if we're making a run. And I didn't realize that USA-Honduras game on Saturday was almost a must-win, like we might not make the World Cup if we don't win this game. So explain to everybody how this whole qualification thing works.
Man, it's ugly. This is a tough task you've handed me.
I'm sorry.
The easiest thing, the way to do it, is the world is kind of put into quadrants. So, like, Europe has their own huge, massive qualifying. The thing that affects the United States, they call it CONCACAF, and all it really means is North America, Central America, and the Caribbean. So all the countries that encompasses play, over the course of roughly 2 years, these kind of little mini qualifying tournaments, and through each one, a few teams get whittled away. if you're some of the big fish, like the U.S., the Mexico, the Costa Ricas, they're kind of given a bye, if you will, into some of the later rounds, so they don't have to take on Martinique and, you know, some islands that you only vacation in and you don't even realize they have, that they're really a country. You just think it's some random island.
So wait a second. So they're giving those little shady sort of, you're a big country, you're too big for a game like this bye, and everybody's okay with that.
Well, that's they're cool. Okay with it because they've earned it.
Right, okay.
Through qualifying for the World Cup or winning other tournaments. But gotcha. I mean, still, you know, the U.S. is traveling to places like Grenada, Barbados, Trinidad, Tobago. You know, I mean, it's not like they're ducking people. They're just ducking, you know, like El Salvador. I mean, they're ducking really tiny, tiny countries.
How dare you besmirch the El Salvadorians.
The El Salvador card, who had a big win, by the way, over the weekend. Your dog walker's happy.
Yeah, our babysitter and occasional dog walker from El Salvador and happened to be babysitting for us because we had the date and put it on Telemundo, and I got to hear the guy do the goal for 10 minutes, like, goal! But so he was explaining to me, like, El Salvador has only made one World Cup.
Right.
And that Mexico somehow is their big rival, which doesn't seem fair. That's like the Clippers, Lakers of Latin American soccer. And I guess beating Mexico on Saturday night was almost the equivalent of the U.S. beating the Russians in the 1980 Olympic hockey game for El Salvador.
That might be a little bit of a stretch, but yeah.
A bit of a stretch, but you know what I mean?
That's the point, is that in this region, the U.S. Now and Mexico in the past have been the teams. And for these smaller countries who, you know, rely so much, particularly on the U.S., you know, economically and politically, you know, they see so many of the brethren leave their country to go to the U.S. looking for that, you know, that better life. You know, it needs a lot for the people in that country to knock off the big guy, you know, and that's why it's so important. Plus, and we forget this, that is their sport. You know, it's not diluted with baseball, maybe a slightly baseball, but, you know, the basketball, the football, the hockey. Soccer is their politics, you know. I mean, that is their world, and for the U.S., that's clearly not the case. You know, you have a home game in Chicago, 50,000 plus, and for a majority of that game, it did not sound or feel like it was a home game, outside of the fact that, I don't know, you know, it was in your home country, you know, and most of the vendors spoke English. You know, it's a road game at home. So, yeah, it means a lot to these people, and, you know, like Honduras had never been to a World Cup since 82, and they got a great chance to make it, and you need every single point to move on. And the big story in Mexico now is, you know, these guys they're shoo-ins, Bill. You know, I mean, you live in L.A., you know, you see all those Mexican jerseys floating around, whether you know what they mean or not, and it's expected in that country that they go to the World Cup. And the fact that if qualifying ended right now, they're not going to the World Cup. They're not even playing in a playoff game, which is getting way beyond things to get to the World Cup.
Well, as you pointed out, with the it's all tied into one sport for some of these countries. It's for El Salvador, it's the equivalent of, in Boston, the Red Sox, Celtics, Bruins, and Patriots all combined as one team. So it's really like
don't
a game
the
like
the New England Revolution.
And the Revolution, sure. Whatever. And it's like all four of those sports combined into this one super duper sport.
Yeah.
And a game like that Saturday night game was the equivalent of like two playoff series happening at the same time.
Yeah, I agree. And I've said for years, and I've said it to you and to others, that, you know, if you're a sports fan, you know, don't have this grudge against soccer. If you're open-minded enough to say, you know what, I want to give it a fair taste, go to a World Cup qualifier, or better yet, go to a World Cup game, and I can pretty much guarantee you're going to walk away with a grand appreciation of what this sport and the passion is all about. And what really makes it is the environment, is being there at the venue and hearing, you know, how proud these people are of their country and of their team. It's beyond the Olympics.
We might go on August 12th. I've researched it, and I think I might go.
I've actually looked in my book, and I'm planning on how I broach the issue with my wife and four kids. I'm going to Mexico City with Bill Simmons for a couple days.
Azteca Stadium?
Bill, that's like the basis of a movie coming your way in 2011.
I think that's the plot of The Hangover 2.
Mexico City for soccer. What?
I think that's the plot of The Hangover 2.
By the way,
a sportscaster and a sports writer go to Mexico for a World Cup qualifier, and they wake up 24 hours later.
They wake up in El Salvador.
With missing kidneys.
yeah, in a bathtub full of ice with goats roaming around. Did you
so
see
Mexico,
the movie, by the way?
What?
Did you see it, by the way?
My wife saw it on Friday night and said it was the hardest she'd ever laughed at a movie, and she's ready to go see it again. Everybody in L.A. is buzzing about it. There's like 500 people lines at movie theaters. It's definitely old school, built the buzz the old-fashioned way.
Yeah, I saw it Friday afternoon in New York City, actually, and I was... You know me in those type of movies.
You're cackling.
The stoner was downright giddy. Yeah, I was fired up. And Zach, I can't pronounce your last name, is killed. He's wonderful. He carried that movie.
They said he's the breakout star.
Yeah.
And it's funny because he's gotten a lot of chances. You could say he's the Clint Dempsey of movie comedians.
Wonderful.
Thank you. Reference. Thank you. Thank you. I really boned up for this. I even did like 10 minutes of research. Wait a second. So Mexico, USA, August 12th.
Right, in Mexico City.
That's a qualifier, right? So if the USA beats Mexico, do they knock them out?
No. There's five teams. Five teams? I forget how many teams are there.
It's like six, I think.
Yeah, you got 10 games, right. Six teams. Everybody plays each other home and away. So technically right now we're at the halfway point for the U.S. They've played their five games. So there's a little break, and the U.S. plays Mexico. It just happens to be their next opponent. They opened up this qualifying with a home win in Columbus, Ohio versus Mexico. Now you got a Mexican team that fired their coach after their last loss and then lost with their new coach in El Salvador. They have a game this week. But, you know, the results, the way they're going for Mexico, it is a must win for them against the country that they just love to see. And you're talking 110,000 people in Mexico City in that stadium. Cheering on the red, white, and green.
110,000?
Easy, yeah. I mean, Bill, you know, people try and play like, it must be like the Super Bowl. You and I have been to Super Bowls together. The Super Bowl is...
It stinks.
Yeah, it's corporate. There's very little passion. You don't feel this massive amount of energy. When you go to, like, these World Cup qualifiers, you're there for your team. You know, you're not there to hobnob or, you know, cut a deal. You're there to watch your soccer and pipe down, you know. Making a run to get another beer is a dicey proposition.
I would say college football is the best comparison.
Yeah, I think so. In a proper game, you know, like Ohio State, Michigan type thing, something like that, I agree.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons, even though I don't really understand soccer, and I would never write a column about it and have opinions on it, because I don't know what's going on. Guys are just running around, and I'm hoping they kick it, you know, in the goal, the team I'm rooting for. But I think it's really fun, and I love the shots of the fans.
Yeah.
I love how hard the guys are playing. And I really think, like, I think soccer players are tough. I think we're all biased against them because we knew so many of them in high school or college that were just like that Billy Zabka, like, unlikable. I don't count you among that group, by the way.
Thank you.
But the actual guys who make it this far, those guys take a beating. And I also don't understand how all of them don't get like 10 concussions. Like, you're heading the ball from 100 yards away. I don't understand how that doesn't break your brain.
They are doing some studies about that, actually.
Are they really?
Yeah, and you will see there's a few goaltenders over in Europe who actually play with a helmet on because they've been kicked in the head too many times and they've had concussions. I wouldn't say it's a huge concern in the soccer world, but it's out there. And not only so much just heading the ball, but when a goal kick or a goalie punts the ball and it's two guys fighting for a ball, more times than not, they're maybe grazing the ball, but they're getting each other's head. And that's where the real concern is. I've seen a lot of vicious head-to-head blows, the side of the head, getting headbutted in the ear, and that sucks.
Well, the other thing is with soccer, like if you go through all the sports, you're going to find some guys that it's really pushing it to call them professional athletes.
Right.
Like even like Zydrunas Ogoskis, he's just tall. He's not a great athlete. You look at all the fat pitchers. You look at some of these football players who are just, they're playing offensive line because they're 390 pounds. There are no fat soccer players.
Correct.
You have to be like in killer shape to play soccer professionally.
What's funny about that is when you see a soccer guy on the field who looks remotely out of shape, you pounce on him. You know, like they have maybe just a little more meat in their jowls than they probably should, or, you know, just putting on a smidge of a belly. And you look at them, and particularly as an opponent, you're like, go after Fat Boy over there. You know, and Fat Boy, meanwhile, is maybe like a pound and a half overweight, you know, and has lost an eighth of a step and would be in killer shape in, you know, baseball or something like that. But, yeah, I agree. I agree.
Tell me about some of the newer stars, not just with America, but everywhere that we can expect in 2010. Because my friend Hopper, big soccer fan, played at Columbia, sent me an email that's the subject heading was, his name is Jozy Altidore. Start gearing up on World Cup 2010 so you don't come off like a bandwagon dork this fall and next year like you did with your recent hockey piece. I thought that was a little mean.
Coming in strong.
Yeah, Hopper. Hopper doesn't hold back. In fact, I resented that email a little bit. But so who's Jozy Altidore?
Well, Jozy Altidore is a young, under-20 American forward. I think Hopper may have oversold him a little bit. But Josie's a wonderful young talent. He scored 3 goals a couple weeks ago in a qualifier at home versus Trinidad and Tobago. Some of them weren't the most impressive variety, but still 3 goals is 3 goals. He signed over in Spain and then has been kind of loaned to a lower club. He hasn't been playing much, so he's a guy to keep your eye out on, but I don't think the rest of the world is shaking over Josie, and that's not a knock on him.
This is great. I can't wait to make fun of Hopper. Sends me the kind of email.
Hopper's talking about like the U.S. national team, and
that's
one of the problems is that this country is constantly asking for that next, do we have an American soccer star that we can finally latch on to and hope that this is the guy that's going to pull us out of the glory?
You know, a couple problems, though. Freddie Adu turned out to be 35 years old. That was one issue that people had. And
he's not playing.
He's not playing now?
Yeah, he's not playing on top of that. I mean, he didn't even, he's with the U.S. team, but he didn't make the game day roster for
Honduras. Much hype for him. And then the Beasley brothers were way oversold. I mean, oversold.
Yeah, and that's the media's fault, and that is
you can't blame the media because if you're like mainstream media and you're like, wow, we got to write about soccer. Well, what do we write about?
Right.
Well, let's pump up some young player. Oh, Beasley's supposed to be good. Well, let's write about him. We'll put him in the cover. But the problem is soccer hasn't had its LeBron or Tiger in America yet. And I really feel like as soon as that happens, everything changes.
Well, I think the soccer bosses think the same thing. And they're saying to themselves, well, you know what? We're not getting that American LeBron. So can we go get the European LeBron? Let's bring Beckham over here. Let's see if that snaps everyone awake. And it does momentarily. And it's just for the games
he's
playing in. But that doesn't help. That doesn't really help American soccer. It maybe helps the teams and the attendance and gets some more eyeballs there, but it's not helping the players.
Wait a second. Did one good thing come out of that Beckham signing?
I think a lot came out of it good, but I think Beckham has
Nate,
come
give
off
me three.
Bad.
Give me three things.
Attendance.
Okay.
Exposure. And that's not just exposure here in the U.S., that's exposure internationally. You'll see LA Galaxy, David Beckham jerseys. Across the globe these days. And it's given primarily European players kind of a little perk and a little hop in their step saying, whoa, MLS in the States is apparently paying some money now. Maybe I need to look at that as a potential destination. And, the Beckham money is unfathomable and it will never be thrown around again in soccer circles in the United States. But it has done a lot of positive. It's done some negatives, too. Clearly, and a lot of that falls on the David Beckham camp. There's a new book coming out by a wonderful writer, and you may have met him, Grant Wall.
You love Grant Wall.
Yeah, and it's behind the scenes with the Beckham time with the LA Galaxy organization. He's still part of them. It's coming out in early July, and it is going to there's going to be some conversations because it's pretty much removing the layers and people who really had to deal with Beckham's people and the management that represents Beckham and the management of the LA Galaxy, how this whole deal really came down and then what transpired when he was here. It's something that American soccer really has never seen. And, I think a lot of sports have never really seen, maybe some of the demands. I was with Alexi Lawless in New York this over the weekend. We were just walking around and, we're looking for a hotel, right? We don't even know where we're staying Friday night. We just know we're going out, and we're walking by the Intercontinental, and he's like, yep, that's where we stayed here last time because Beckham wouldn't stay at any other hotel. So the whole LA Galaxy team, including a bunch of guys who make $17,000 a year, are put up, in the Hotel Intercontinental, while every other MLS team that comes to New York is like at the Secaucus Holiday Inn Express.
That's fantastic. I love that. You said you were pretty close to Victoria Beckham a few times, correct? No, I mean, you were like within like 2-3 feet of her.
I don't, was I?
I don't know, weren't you? Didn't you see her once?
I know I would have liked to have been. I would have been, but you know how I am with the good looking ladies. Just hold on, let me get in my shell a little bit more and, I have nothing to say. Let me see.
Turn into a puddle. I thought you interacted with her at some point.
No. She actually, from what I've been told, was pretty low maintenance, pretty easy with the LA Galaxy. You didn't really see her. She didn't really have too many demands or requests.
I'll tell you what one of her demands wasn't. Food. Thank you. Thank you. I'll be here all week. Thank you.
I'll be here in one of my 8 pods this week.
Well, I think the Beckham thing was kind of a failure, unfortunately.
Yeah, and it's still going on, you know. And the worst part about it is that he's kind of playing a lot of people here. You know, the fact that he's been saying, I want to stay in Italy. You know, he's over there with AC Milan, right? I want to stay there. And it's kind of like he has to grudgingly come back to the U.S. to play a couple months and cash some checks. And he says he's committed to American soccer, yet how can you be committed to American soccer when you sign with the L.A. franchise and you don't join the team until they're essentially midway through their season, and then you're ready to bolt on off again? I mean, you can't have it both ways. And his point is, you know, he needs to play in Italy to make the English national team so he can make another run at the World Cup next year.
And you know what somebody should do? Someone of the MLS guys making $17,000 a year?
Oh, come clean.
Just take a run at him. Just go Ogie Oglethorpe on him. Just take him out. Take him out from behind. Just crush him.
Well, I'm sure that's crossed a lot of people's minds, but you know what? I think a lot of those guys are smart enough to realize that his presence is doing nothing but helping their cause and maybe their paycheck. You know, because, all right, great, he's bringing in, you know, 50, 60,000 into our stadium. All of a sudden, you know, that's a heck of a lot better than the 17s or the 22,000s that maybe we were averaging. And great, so that revenue helps go to our team and maybe better travel or maybe to my salary or things like that. So, yeah, you're careful. You don't want to bite the hand that is maybe giving you leftovers.
You don't want to bite the hand that's not feeding you.
Right. That's taking away from you.
Give me 3 guys who will be in the 2010 World Cup, any country, that I don't really know that much about, but
no,
I'm going to be excited about.
No, Kaká, outside of the fact it's a great name.
I just found out about Kaká about 4 months ago. Yeah,
Brazilian. You know, every kind of cycle, Brazil has the next whoever. You know, is it Ronaldo, Ronaldinho? Well, this one is Kaká. You know, he is on the verge of a major move to another European team, it sounds like, for just frightening amounts of dollars. And Messi in Argentina, a wonderful young midfielder that runs around and just causes chaos. He just won the Champions League with Barcelona. And let's see, is there anybody on England that's really setting me afire right now? Not too much. They're just kind of gritty. You know, but that's the beauty about the World Cup is that there are some stars that are marketed coming in, but there's in the soccer world, the World Cup is like, what's the parallel here? It's kind of like your runway to get out there and flash what you are and what you have, and to translate that almost immediately into a big payday with the club team afterwards. So you get some guys, and this always cracks me up, that have a killer, literally 2 weeks. We've all had a good 2 week run at something in our life. I know at some point you've put together 2 weeks worth of good columns, right?
I would hope so after 10 years.
Right, and you're feeling great, and all of a sudden somebody else is like, hey, you know, that Bill guy's pretty good. You know, maybe we need to bring him on over here. You know, let's keep Bill. Let's jack up that pay even some more. And that happens in the soccer world. So you get these guys who just play lights out soccer during the World Cup because they are looking for their potential livelihood. And you always get a couple guys who you never really knew about who end up jumping up on the screen and kind of taking that tournament by notice. And that to me is kind of like the third one to watch out for, is that you don't know who to watch out for.
It sounds like the NBA playoffs. Jerome James, most famously, played like one good week for Seattle and parlayed it into a $30 million Isaiah Thomas contract.
Exactly. Yeah, Isaiah. It always comes back to Zeke, doesn't it?
It sure does.
Boy, what a run he's going to have over there. Is it Florida Atlantic or International?
Is that near you, FIU?
It's over like Miami, Fort Lauderdale area. Yeah. It's a bizarro world over there. It's Florida Atlantic. Is it Florida? I can't remember which one it is.
One last soccer question.
Oh.
So when does this all play out? When is it done? End of
qualifying. Qualifying will be done in the fall.
Okay.
In the fall. So they have time to kind of, okay, we made it, now what do we need to work on? So now they're going to, then they'll start saying, okay, where do we need to, what positions are weak? You know, which ones are up for grabs? You know, let's start running some tryouts here with our camps and in our games. They need to schedule games versus, you know, top-notch European talent, you know. You'll find out where you're going with the World Cup draw, and if you're matched up with, you know, like if Germany and Italy are in your group, you got to say, whoa, okay, well, let's find some teams that play similar to Germany and Italy and try and schedule them to play some games so you get a little bit of a taste. And speaking of Italy, the U.S., actually their next game, Bill, is against Italy, a tournament called the Confederations Cup, which actually is going to be in South Africa in about a week, starts up, and the U.S. has Brazil and Italy and Egypt in their
TV?
Group. ESPN family of networks.
Beautiful.
Live every U.S. game and every game in HD. How about that?
So wait, if I gave you over-under, you could bet over or under. Quarterfinals and a half, meaning that if you bet the over, the USA would have to make the semifinals. If you bet the under, be quarterfinals or below, what would you pick?
Under.
Way under? Like no question?
Yeah, for the World Cup or for Confederations Cup?
World Cup.
Yeah, under. I mean,
what if I said, hold on, what if I said under final 16, over quarterfinals and above? What do you take then?
You know me. I'm a positive guy, right?
Yeah.
I'm a happy guy.
Yeah, you are happy.
I still take the under.
Wow.
I love this team, and I believe in them and their coach, but they haven't really set me afire, and the fact that they're doing it against some not top-notch worldwide speaking competition worries me a little bit.
Yeah.
And they don't have a lot of depth. And, you know, we'll learn a lot when they're taking on Italy and Brazil, you know, in a couple weeks. Well, show me how you stand up against these giants in South Africa in these venues that are going to host the World Cup, you know. They've got a long way to go. But, you know, if you talk to people in U.S. soccer, you know, kind of quietly, they'll just tell you, look, our goal is to get to the World Cup. Just qualify, okay? Let's get there first. You know, it's not like the Englands and the Italies, who they rarely even really think about qualifying. They're already talking quarterfinals, semifinals. The U.S. is saying, let's just get there. And then their gravy is if we get out of the first round. If we can somehow play an extra game in the World Cup, we've done our job. Because at that point, it's one, you know, it's 90 minutes and anything can happen. But, so, you know, the U.S. has only made one quarterfinal, you know, and it was a wonderful run, but it was, you know, if you really go back and look at it, they kind of snuck their way in there. They beat a team, Mexico, that, you know, they've had some success with. They happen to be matched up with them. But it was still a great run. I'm not trying to take anything away from it. But, yeah, right now, the way they're looking, I don't have a ton of faith in them. They're going to get to the World Cup. I don't doubt that. But
Were you talking about 2002 or 1990? I forget which one.
I'm talking 2002.
Right.
Korea, Japan.
Remember when I got up at like 5 in the morning and did a running diary?
It's great stuff. It's fun.
I urge listeners to go on there and listen to that. That's the earliest I've ever gotten up to write a column. I was half asleep.
Talking about going to World Cup qualifier, there's one in Salt Lake City area, Sandy, Utah.
Oh, I'm not allowed to go there.
Oh,
they don't like
me from Utah?
Yeah, they don't like the Darren Williams, Chris Paul jokes that I make, and I think I'd get killed. Or at least I'd order an omelet from room service and it would have like mucus in it.
Maybe we could do the Salt Lake Houston chunk it because you're a big fan there too.
Where's the one in Houston?
Oh, I'm just kidding. I'm just saying we just add Houston. We had our chance to go to Houston for WrestleMania and we blew it.
Well, what's going on with you in the bowling?
I'm actually doing a bowling event this week at Six Flags, New Jersey. We're taping a ton of shows for something called the Summer Series. Yeah, how frightening is it that I've become the voice of professional bowling?
I'd go even further. You're like you're the Marv Albert of bowling.
Without some of the endeavors
off come on.
The lanes, let's hope.
Come on.
Love Marvelous.
Is that fun?
I'm still agitated. You haven't come to an event yet with me because you'll be highly amused.
I am dying to go to an event, but every time you tell me, it's like, hey, I'm coming to California. You want to go to bowling? I'm like, yeah, sure. And you're like, yeah, it's in Fresno.
No, it's south of L.A. Like Long Beaches. Yeah, no, I hear you.
It's right near you.
Reno's my big hangout. A lot of time in Reno.
Yeah.
Maybe too much time in Reno.
Why don't you ever have events in bigger cities?
That's a great question. Ask my bosses.
Okay. I'm dying to go. What?
I've been to Vegas a couple times, and I'm like, well, clearly this is the time I'm going to get Simbo to join me.
Well, yeah, but I was finishing my book. Now I'm like a free agent. I can go to Aztec Stadium. I can go to Vegas.
Love it. I love
yeah,
the attitude.
Yeah, it's good. I'm really throwing it around now.
Hey, are you going to do like a book signing down here in Tampa?
I mean, it wasn't on the list. You don't have an NBA team.
Add it. Come on down.
You don't have an NBA team. There's three NBA fans in Tampa.
We got baseball, baby. Tampa Bay Rays. I know. We're close enough to the Magic.
Let's talk about that quickly. The Rays, what the hell happened? Just season after, sophomore jinx, too much
last year?
No,
they're still good. What are they, five out right now? Toronto, I'm done with them. You know, they got one good pitcher, and that's it. So it's all about New York and Boston. And the Rays have had a miserable season between their bullpen, between do they have a closer or not, between DJ Upton's slow start, between Evan Longoria's hamstring injury and the Pat Burrell train wreck. Yet they're still in it, and they're without their second baseman for the rest of the season. Jason Bartlett, who's been their pretty much their MVP, all apologies to Longoria and Carl Crawford, has been out with a sprained ankle. When they get healthy after the All-Star break, and if they can get their starters figured out, watch out, people. But David Price, gosh, I love this guy. But what is he? He's at like 80 pitches after like two and a third.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't know because I pay $200 a year for the MLB package, and they didn't show the Tampa Yankee game on Saturday. Because God forbid I got to see David Price at CC Sabathia.
It was a wild game.
God forbid.
I was texting our friend Grady several times during that game.
I mean, why can't I watch that game? There's no way for me to watch that game. I have to pay more money. I have to go online on my laptop and pay them $20 more so I can see
wrong.
David Price at CC Sabathia.
Wrong. I agree.
I have another MVP candidate for you.
For who, the Rays?
Yeah.
Who?
I really feel like this guy's the MVP. Ben Zobrist.
Ah, would love Ben. It's hard to give it to him because he's still kind of a utility guy. You know, he's getting time in right field and second base. But
I'm with you on that, but he's played like every position, 142 at-bats, 408 on base, 662 slugging.
Yeah, and you look at him and you're not saying to yourself, well, this is a home run threat type guy. And he can even run the bases. He has been wonderful. And, you know, Joe Maddon, the manager, you know, I give him a lot of credit. He's kind of doing a couple groundbreaking things, and I'm not sure they're all working. But one is the rebirth of the utility man. You know, and they've believed in it for a couple of years now where they say, you know what, I want guys who can play more than one position. So I'm not screwed when an injury happens, and these guys can still produce. And the other thing is an ongoing experiment right now with Troy Percival debating whether he should retire or not. I'd love to have a vote in that one. But the fact that
shoot him! Shoot him!
Gosh, please, somebody drug him. Is the fact that, you know, all right, we're going to do closer by committee and do it by matchups. And, as you know, baseball loves matchups. They love doing the stats and figuring out lefties versus righties and how this guy goes against this. To me, it makes a ton of sense. Like, all right, this guy can't hit lefties, bring in a lefty for this guy. I mean, they do it throughout the game. I don't know where the stigma that you need a closer comes from. Having said that, when you have a closer, man, you love it. You know, I hate the Yankees, but boy, you know, Mariano Rivera would come on and it's like game over. This is fun now. You know, you can just kick back and laugh as he shuts down the opponents, unless they're the Tampa Bay Rays, who get all over Rivera lately.
Can I say something?
Yes.
You know who doesn't like closer by committee? Guys who have Dan Wheeler on their AL Keeper League, like me. Dan Wheeler, I don't think he has a save yet.
No,
protected him at $4. But Randy Choate has three saves.
Yeah, but they're fun to watch, man. I tell you, you got to come. You know what? You got to come back.
Don't give it. I already came. I already went. It was like it was freaking Cocoon 3.
I know, but it's different now. There's jerseys.
It is.
There's hats. There's Tampa Bay Rays merchandise is all over this town, and I will say that it is very close to challenging that of the Bucks, and maybe has even surpassed it.
Wow! Really?
Because the Bucks have already given up on the season. A rookie head coach, a rookie GM, they move up to draft a quarterback of the future that a lot of people are questioning, or were questioning, you know, already. So this season is a loss for them. I mean, they have not sold out. They have now ads on the air down here in Tampa, selling season tickets for the Bucks. You know me, I'm a big Buck fan. Ahoy, ahoy. But, you know, times are a little tough down here in Buckland. And the Rays, what they did last year, every day I will go out and I will see a Rays hat, a shirt, stickers on cars, license plates. I mean, their merchandise has gone through the roof out here. And I'll even see some Rays stuff on the road now, which really frightens me. And I knew that's when the Bucks made it years ago. when I saw somebody like wearing a Warren Sapp jersey in New York City.
I got to say, I'm surprised that they've kept it going, because you look at like the stats and like B.J. Upton, you undersold how bad his
years coming
been.
On now. I think he's got a 10-game hit streak long of his career, and he still gets it done defensively. But yeah. I agree with you.
He's in 221.
So early, and everything was looking for. Here's my take on B.J. Upton. I'm sorry, this is like, what, the longest Rob Stone pod ever with you. But
no, it's not even close.
He had shoulder surgery in the offseason. He had it late. And what that meant was that he couldn't really do the weights, you know, build up his body the way he wanted to coming into a season. So he's been weaker, muscle speaking, than he normally would be or would like to. That's why he just hasn't been able to get this stuff going. So they've kind of talked to him and said, look, don't be swinging for the fences, you know. Just drive it. You know, just get it out of the infield. You know, get on base. That's all you need, because he and Carl Crawford are guaranteed doubles, essentially, if they can get on first base.
Well, he's been in a slump. Navarro's been in a slump. Carlos Pena's hitting homers, but he's only hitting .223.
Yeah.
And then the bullpen has been awful, and Sonnenstein's been horrible. And then I've heard that Kazmir's not even hurt, that he just is not getting along with the pitching coach, and that's why he's not pitching.
That I hadn't heard, but he, you know, they're selling it as, what, a quadricep.
Seems a little dubious.
Something, but he has not looked good. He has not looked right. And this is a concern.
I think that year 29-29 is pretty good. The other thing I'll say is they definitely have Rivera's number. Like, there's something going on there.
Yeah.
I think even the Yankee fans will admit it now.
Yeah, it's fine.
And then, you know, they're so fast and they're so athletic that they're going against Posada and Veritek in these series. And it's just a bad matchup for both the Red Sox and the Yankees. It's like they have too much athleticism for them. You know, so I'm not counting him out either, but I would be. I think they need one of Sonnenstein and Kazmir to come back, and they need Price to, as you pointed out, not take 100 pitches to throw four innings.
Yeah, and they need to get Jason Bartlett back, and they got to figure out what Pat Burrell's doing, if he's going to be okay, and if he's okay, can he actually swing the bat? Otherwise, I mean, I think he's guaranteed for 2 years, but, you know, because the Rays, they never dip into that kind of big-name free agent market and actually spend some money. So for them to go out and get a big bat like Pat was a pretty big deal, and it has completely backfired.
I didn't like it when it happened. I've never been a fan. I also don't like getting NL hitters going to the AL.
Yeah.
It just makes me nervous.
Concern. I agree.
I like when the AL hitters go to the NL. Like, that's one of the reasons I like the Raul Baños signing for Philly, was because I just think it's basically like you're moving down to quadruple A. The National League fans hate that, but I'm sorry. Like, there's a lot of statistical evidence that points to it. I do think that I don't know who emerges as the closer, but
Rays.
Yeah, I mean, Balfour he's walking more guys, but his strikeouts are still up there.
Yeah, he's just not the same as last year, intimidation wise and things like that. Which is part of, I think, being a closer is having that persona when you come on out. He's just, their whole bullpen is just not the same. You know, J.P. Howe is probably one of the best things they got, and he'll be somewhat blamed for the loss yesterday, but I mean, the error and things like that didn't help, but he's maybe their best bet. But I think, you know, that's kind of Madden's philosophy. Everything is kind of by committee. Right field has been by committee, getting all these utility guys. So I think he understands it, and that's the deal. But it would be nice, you know, Troy Pershaw, hey, dude, make up your mind. You know, do you want to play or not? If you're going to play, let's go. Get on going here. If not, let's move on so the club can go on. And I don't know why. You know, in a bigger market, that type of stuff would not be tolerated. And the local media would be pounding it, and the fans, and you know, ESPN.com would be all over it. What's going on? What's your deal? You know, they would have forced a decision out of him. Meanwhile, you know, he's back and forth between, I think, California and Florida, and doing this, doing that. I don't know.
By the way, should have retired last year.
Exactly.
I mean, we're not even – forget about this year. I think last year would have been a good retirement. Well, Rob Stone, thank you for maybe one of the first ever World Cup qualifier / Tampa Bay Devil Rays podcasts.
What do you mean, maybe?
No, I think there's been others. We just don't know about them.
Oh.
There had to have been one other in history.
Hey, and I'll tell you what, on behalf of the soccer world, we are happy to welcome you into the Willow World Cup qualifying group. I was thrilled to get your text telling me that El Salvador won, and you were yipping, and I had to read it like 5 times. I'm like, who's this from? That's not Bill Simmons.
I was excited because Anthony, our babysitter, was telling us that they're going to take a lead late into the game, give up a goal, and then blow it. And so they gave up the goal, and it was 1-1, and it was actually on a TV at the restaurant we were at, and I was like watching out of the corner of my eye. My wife was getting mad. And then El Salvador actually scored. And instead of giving up the goal, they right. scored the goal, and it was like just complete chaos, and just everybody was so happy. And they also have great uniforms.
Yeah. Now, what would the sports gal say about you and the Stoner going to Mexico City for a couple of days?
I mean, my initial reaction, not happy. That she'd be probably upset. She'd probably end up being okay with it as long as she got to go to Vegas and like wear cocktail dresses and go to clubs.
What would she say if you said you, me, and Jimmy Kimmel are going to Mexico City for a couple of days for a World
Cup? She wouldn't. Yeah, she wouldn't. Jimmy doesn't do it. He's not the kind of dangerous kind of guy you'd want in Mexico.
Right.
There are a couple other candidates that she'd probably be upset about. You know what? She does fear you, which is funny.
I know. I don't
understand. Kids.
I think I'm on the fine line with Carrie. Like, I kind of like Stoner, but I think she thinks I got like a little something in my eye that worries her.
I think it was the time we went out after we were both engaged in Boston, and somehow you ended up, some girl was hitting on you the whole night. Remember that night we were playing pool?
Oh, yes. That was like my 2 weeks of good columns. Maybe you were on pool night that night.
No, I think you were, but they showed up, we were playing. We just happened to be playing against two girls, and the girls were flirty, and it was just. All right, Rob Stone, always a pleasure. Keep in touch. Let us know what's going on with bowling, World Cup, everything else, and we'll talk to you.
You got it, buddy.
Soon.
Thanks, man. Always happy to do it.
Bye-bye.
Target to center.
Whoa. Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at PodCenter@ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.
That concludes, ends, finishes, wraps up another BS Report. With all the talk about baseball, the upcoming football season, and hockey playoffs, Bill Simmons neglected to mention something which frankly cannot go unstated. Okay, here goes. For a limited time, hurry into Subway and enjoy the new Tuscan Chicken Melt. Lovely seasoned chicken, melted bubbly cheese with olive vinaigrette, piled so high with the crisp veggies you love on your choice of freshly baked bread. All that deliciousness with 9 grams of fat. It's part of a fresh fit meal.